Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
Let's head straight to the far side of the circuit from the Michelin Tower and to Shea Adam, who is looking at the pit lane. Shea, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am happy as could possibly be, and I have a pit lane full of race cars, including one we don't normally see for morning warm-up, John. That's the Core Autosport LMP3 machine. This car missed qualifying yesterday. There was a fuel cell issue, and the time required to change it meant that they were not able to get out for qualifying. They were able to get out on the pit lane this morning very bright and early. They did a fuel drop to make sure that their timing is appropriate and will not get them in trouble. And the car right now, with Colin Brown behind the wheel, he's handling the driving duties for all of morning warm-up. And warm-up is the key word because it is quite chilly out. So George Kurtz and John Bennett are staying warm in the driver's lounge, letting Colin do all the hard work.
Yeah, I think that's very smart by the old heads prevailing there, Shea. We've been following a few stories. I don't think we're quite on the P8 at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta yet, but we need to follow up a couple of things from yesterday. The Wright Motorsport Porsche was rebuilt. It was out yesterday afternoon. What did we get to the bottom of whether that what chassis that was and how they got it down there?
So get this. The accident occurs Thursday afternoon, correct? I'm not getting my days mixed up here.
It was
Thursday afternoon. Second practice session, about five laps in, Jan Halen gets wiped out by an LMP2 car. The car is just deemed to be irreplaceable.
Irreparable.
Not able to be used again. Yeah, I was going to say that, but I'm sure that John Wright will figure out some use for it back up at the shop. So the two truck drivers got on a private plane. Frederick Airlines is what they're calling it, which is very appropriate because it was by the assistance of one of their other family members. They drove back down here with a new car. It arrived at about 7 o'clock in the morning. They had the car fixed and ready to go for qualifying, and it went out. Trent Hinman did the first section. Jan Halen did the second. It's sitting on the pit lane. It looks spectacular. It's got an all-carbon hood, which is a slight difference to the normal livery that we see, and it's breathtaking. But this will be the car that Patrick Long drives for his last professional race in IMSA. So it's going to be a very emotional day for Wright all around. But yesterday they sealed up one championship. They're looking to try and get another one today with the Michelin Endurance Cup.
Hello to everyone who's joining us on 98.1 FM around the circuit. Morning to Dave Miller, to Greg Kramer, and the team at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. Do we know whether that replacement car share has been run before? Because obviously it wasn't just a case of the right truck drivers getting up there and bringing it back. Then the mechanics and engineers had to go to work transferring various bits over from the car that was bent, because you're not allowed spare cars. You are allowed to rebuild a car into another shell. So what do we know about the history of that car that was brought down?
I do not know about the history of the car, but that is a question that I will ask. We are moments away from the green flag coming out from morning warm-up, though, so it will get a little bit noisy down here. I do have news for you, though, of grid-altering penalties that have come in overnight. Four cars electing to change their starting tires, including the 44 Magnus with Archangel Acura in GTD, the 23 Aston Martin from GTD, that's the heart of racing car. Both of those cars forfeit their points that they earned in the qualifying session as well. That's what happens when you change your starting tires. The 83 LMP3 machine from Wynn Autosport, remember it had the off right at the beginning of qualifying, they changed their starting tires. They are not a full season entrant. Losing their starting points does not affect them. but they do start at the back of the LMP3 field. And of very much note, Jack Cocksworth was the fastest driver in the GTD points paying session yesterday. Well, the car did not pass ride height, so that car has been moved to the back of the grid. As a result, they've elected to change tires and starting driver. So it's a very different look for the 14 Lexus than when we left it yesterday. I would expect to see Kyle Kirkwood behind the wheel of that car now for the first couple of stints.
As you heard there, the engines have fired, and in fact we are running for this 20-minute session. We'll let Shea get a breath and then head up to the pit, up through the pit lane, and get a few interviews. These times counting for nothing this morning. Jeremy Shaw is alongside me, John Hindhoff from in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre, and nothing good ever happens in warm-ups, so they say, Jeremy, but for a couple of teams, those that we've just mentioned in particular, very important to get the cars back out, and they'll be, I suppose, they'll just be gauging the conditions, and particularly conditions of the track surface in these cooler conditions this morning.
Yes, absolutely right, and it is going to take some time again to build up the heat and pressures into these Michelin tyres, because it is significantly cooler, I think, as Shane was saying there, than yesterday, and massively cooler than it was the day before on Thursday for the first practice session. So, those are very different conditions. The cars react in very different ways. It'll take a little bit longer to build, to get those tyres working properly, get it properly up to speed. And that's something that the teams and drivers are going to have to contend with. We saw yesterday quite a few incidents in the various races that were happening, and I think many of those were as a result of the much cooler ambient temperatures, John.
Yeah, and that's something we're going to have to live with. We don't like it, but we're going to have to live with it in this latest start in the year to Motul Petit Le Mans. Around about half the race we're reckoning in darkness. One or two cars coming straight back in after an installation lap, including Renger van der Zander in the Ally Cadillac DPI. The 01 comes to its pit stop area, and Renger already out. We'll head back down to Shea in just a moment as she's setting up a couple of people to talk to. The weather forecast is pretty good today. The sun is out at the moment. We still have 15 cars in the pit lane, about to be joined by one or two others, I fancy. As far as the championship's concerned, Jeremy, the main championship between the number 10 Acura, Wayne Taylor Racing, Cunningham and Alta, the 31 Wheel and Engineering Cadillac, and sometimes at this time of the year we have to have very clever tables to tell us what is going on and who's actually ahead. It's not quite winner take all here in that top championship for the WeatherTech sports car crown this year, but it's not far away from that as far as DPI is concerned.
Well, yeah, either the top two contenders don't have to win, you're absolutely right, but whichever finishes ahead of the other in whatever position will win the championship. The two contenders then, number 10 cars then, all season long after winning the opening round of the championship at Daytona, Rolex 24, they've led all season long, but number 31 team, which will start on pole position today, is now only 8 points behind, and so with the points differentials between each position being a minimum of 10, that means that whichever car finishes ahead, be it first and second or sixth and seventh, because we've got seven DPI cars, then they will win the championship. So it's as clear cut as it could possibly be.
I see what you mean, absolutely. VP Racing Fuel pit report, Shea Adam is with Renger van der Zander on the pit lane.
Renger, it's quite a bit chillier this morning than it's been for the last few days, and it's only going to get colder. Is that going to favor the Chip Ganassi Cadillac?
Of course. Yeah, of course. Now, I think it's going to be the coldest day that we had so far here in general over the years, but also this weekend. And I think this car has always been doing well when it's cold. So when it hots, I think other cars performed a bit better. So it should be in our favor, yeah?
as far as this race goes, there's only one goal, go out and win. You've got next year sewn up. You've got all your plans in line. How much pressure does that take off?
Well, you know, take it one step at a time. And I think we're here at Petit Le Mans. This is the race to win. I won it twice before, and it's a good feeling. So I want to get back to that feeling this week or this today. It's nice to be back here. It's just, you know, for example, my dad. I took my dad to one of the races in America. This is the one where I took him because it's just pure racing. It's going to be madness at the end of the race. Always with like 2 hours to go, everybody tries to position for track position and try to wheel bang its way forward. So it's an awesome race.
Good luck today. I'll keep an eye on your car.
Thank you.
Renger van der Zander, part of the expanded team for the expanded entry, should I say, for DPI for next year. Chip Ganassi bringing in two cars. Alex Lynn coming in full time. Had a chat with him on Midweek Motorsport on Wednesday. Maybe even find time to fit that in between the end of warm-up and the start of the race. Michelin Countdown to Green coming up as well. And we'll be joined by Johnny Morlam in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre for Countdown to Green and the race. Bringing us a driver's eye view of a track that he knows very well indeed. So the other championships, Jeremy, Michelin Endurance Cup, of course, finishing this weekend as well. And we have to remind ourselves, and this will be one of our Porsche keys to the race when we get the Michelin Countdown to Green, that the points for Michelin Endurance Cup aren't just awarded at the end. There are interim points as well, which sometimes throws a little curveball into people's strategy.
Yeah, very much so. Points will be awarded after 4 hours, 8 hours, and then at the end of the 10 hours as well. It's a very small differential between the points at each stage. It's that you get 5 points for leading the class at each stage, 4 for second, 3 for third, and everybody else gets 2. So there's a maximum of 15 points up for grabs, and there's not many cars that aren't in contention to win either one or other of the classes. In DPI, just 3 points separate the top two. They're definitely going to be hard to beat. It's number 10 car. Ahead of the number 55 in DPI points. In LMP2, just a 1 point lead for the number 52 ahead of number 8. But number 18 and 11, they're also within 4 points of the lead at the moment. In LMP3, a very handy margin there. That's pretty much all tied up now. In fact, that is tied up, in fact, for the number 74 team. Guy Robinson and Scott Andrews, they've been the only drivers that have done all of the races in that car for the MEC. So that's the only MEC championship that is tied up already. There's a spin there.
That was a couple of moments ago, Jeremy. Yeah. Garrett Grist coming out of the pits in the number 30 GR3 car, the Junior 3 car, and that's brought out a red flag as he's across the end of the pit lane. Garrett's got the car going again, so it'll be a very short red flag with 11 and a half minutes to go. And that just underlining, Jeremy, what you were saying earlier about getting to grips, pun absolutely intended, with tyres that aren't allowed to be pre-warmed. You know, it's going to be tough when you come off the pit lane speed limiter, and particularly, you know, when we get into the darkness hours, and half of this race will be run in the dark pretty much, you get the temperatures are going to be plummeting at that point. Come off the pit lane speed limiter on a brand new set of tyres, you're going to have to be very careful.
Well, you certainly are. And Garrett Grist, he had some experience of that yesterday morning because he was part of the IMSA Prototype Challenge race and had an eventful day, actually, because he had a spin at one stage. He also set the fastest race lap. And then towards the end, he let a fellow Ligier driver go through to ensure that Ligier won the championship. So it was a busy day for Garrett yesterday, and a rare mistake from him, or two rare mistakes, I guess. So maybe not quite so rare nowadays. But he's a very fast driver from Canada, and he will be a contender, I'm sure, in that Airbnb car during this race. We'll go back to the Michelin Endurance Cup. LMP3 tied up already by the number 74 team. You know, in GTLM, the number 3 Corvette leads the number 4 Corvette by 2 points, coming to this final round. As I say, 15 points in total up for grabs, although a minimum of 8. 2 points between those two. The BMW number 25 is just 3 points further behind in third position. In GTD, we got four cars within 2 points. Number 16 car for Wright Motorsports leads on 28 points. Number 9 car is just 1 point behind. That's another the other Porsche, the Pfaff Motorsports Porsche. And also the Paul Miller Racing number 1 Lamborghini is 1 point behind the leaders as well. So super tight there in the Michelin Endurance Cup for the teams. For the drivers also, Mauro Engel, he was part of the winning team at Daytona for Wynwood Racing. He also drove a different Mercedes in the subsequent races for the Michelin Endurance Cup at Sebring and Watkins Glen. And he is only 2 points off the lead behind Patrick Long, Jan Halen and Trent Hindman. So he, as a driver, is in contention for the MEC Cup. But the top three teams are 16, 9 and 1.
Let's head back to Shea, who's got Jonathan Bomarito with her for this VP Pit Report.
Jonathan, it's going to be an emotional weekend for a lot of people, but none more so than Team Mazda. This is the swan song for what's been a faithful and beautiful car. You're one of the drivers who's been in this car. You're the only driver, actually, who's been in this car since the inception of the program. What's it going to take to send it out with a win?
We're on a good track so far. We qualified up front, just narrowly missed the pole. We have a fast race car. We have a great team, great group of partners behind us. So all the pieces are there. It's a tough race, 10 hours, a lot of cars, a lot could happen, some cold temperatures. You know, there's a lot of variables out there in this race, and we're just going to try to control our own destiny as much as possible and end the program on a high like it rightfully deserves.
Now, you've got a slight advantage, having raced this race in a GT car and in the prototype. Does that help you at all now that there's five classes out there trying to figure out where to pass people?
I think any time you have experience in both GT and prototypes, it helps you understand, you know, where, how to respect, you know, give each other room where it's needed so you don't have contact at apexes and taking each other off the road. It just gives you a little different perspective. But the last 2 hours, it's pretty much, you know, you're trying not to give much. It's kind of take, unfortunately.
Well, good luck in the race today. Hope to see that Mazda on top.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And thanks for all the fans out there for supporting us so long. We're going to end this one on a good one, hopefully.
Yeah, I got my Sharpie. I'm ready to sign the car.
Thank you.
End of an era there, Jeremy, for the little engine that could, four-cylinder petrol engine, of course. They've dabbled with diesel as well. And seems a shame that it's coming to an end, and all good things do have to, but still the rumours persist that that car might reappear being run by someone else for next year. I hope that comes to fruition because it's a real fan favourite.
Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it? It's a very popular car amongst the fans, amongst the teams, amongst everybody here.
Shea Adam with some breaking news in this VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Report. What are you hearing, Shea?
I didn't. I thought it was a Skype message from you. It is not. It is a text message from Cadillac Chip Ganassi Racing. Kevin Magnussen is sick and cannot participate in the Motul Petit Le Mans race today. Earl Bamber, one of the Chip Ganassi Racing drivers for next year, will be driving in for him. It means that Ranger will start from the back of the class, and that means that the 01 has changed their starting driver, so lost the qualifying points, but they're not too worried about that. But welcome back to IMSA, Earl Bamber. That's a bit unexpected.
Well, and of course, Earl Bamber is the driver who is going into that team next year. So he's already done some testing with them. So the opportunity for him to get some competitive miles with the team for whom he will be driving next year in that expanded effort, Jeremy. So breaking news, you heard it live, exclusively live here on IMSA Radio. Kevin Magnussen not feeling too well. We wish Kevin all the best. And Earl Bamber, Jeremy, into the squad. A race earlier than we'd expect it.
Wow, yeah, that's big news. It really is, because, yes, he's done a little bit of testing in that car. He was part of that kind of gong show test they had at Road America back in August, I guess that was. Big news, because to step into a prototype here, okay, he's done the race before, so he's got plenty of experience here, driven plenty of laps around this racetrack, but to hop in there for the very first time for Moto Petit Le Mans with so many cars on track as well, that's going to be a testing challenge for even somebody as a comp.
Yes, I presume then that is the case. Let me stand by. Yes,
he's fast just already, so it's not taking long to get up to speed, but still, you're getting into the swing of this sort of race with so many cars on track. You know, it's tricky. Even for somebody, like I say, as accomplished as Earl Bamber, but assuming that is him at the wheel right now, and I'm sure it would be if he's going to be driving in the race, then he's certainly got up to pace right away.
Yeah, it's that is a bit of a shocker. Let's hope it's nothing serious for Kevin, and that he's going to be okay very quickly. But an interesting challenge then for Earl Bamber. She's still listening in, so we'll try and get her to check to see. Obviously, that can't be Kevin Magnussen in the car, but I presume Earl Bamber has just taken over the driver setting on the car, and therefore it is the affable Kiwi who is in the car at the moment. It's good news. It is good news for him, and I suppose for the team, Jeremy, because it does get him some experience. And Shea's just confirmed to me it was Earl in the car. Although earlier on, I think the timing screen hadn't quite changed over from when we saw the GR3 car spin, Jeremy. It was just out the pit lane. Maybe the Alcamel timing was just a little bit behind there. It wasn't Garrett in the car that spun on exit of pit.
No, I'm informed it was actually Ari Balog, the bronze-rated driver, who spun that car. And Ari had a good run yesterday in the opening stint. So yeah, he's relatively new to the prototypes. Just done some of the races this year in the IMSA Prototype Challenge. This is his IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship debut this weekend. But of course, previously he's raced in the Michelin Pilot Challenge. So he's gained a fair bit of experience over the last few years. He is the one of the leading lights at Airbnb, by the way. But is turning into a pretty accomplished bronze-rated driver.
Very accomplished, yes. Bronze-rated drivers. Bronze may not be the most precious metal, but bronze drivers are pretty well sought after in the big scheme of things in international motor racing. Coming back down to the last couple of minutes, so a chance for another couple of interviews from Shea. A little bit of damage on the left front dive plane of the 31 Whelen Cadillac. That's had some contact with something trundling down the pit lane at the moment. I think it might be going, I know it has gone back to its pit stall. So that's a question for Shea to ask. Whether it was a bit of debris that was thrown up or contact, not entirely certain. Pulls in behind the number 4 Corvette at that end of pit lane. And it was Felipe Nasr who set the time yesterday. Told Shea after qualifying he couldn't have wrung anything out of it. Anything extra out of it. Ah, now, hit the back of the 47 Motorsport Duquesne coming out of turn 7. Answer, we have tape apes working well this morning. Shea Adam has arrived at the 31 car. Left front, Shea, the top dive plane was deranged.
The dive plane, actually, that is deranged. The bottom dive plane is actually fine. So very odd hit. There's a bit of scraping and out. Oh, no, there's a puncture to the carbon underneath the headlights. So that will need to be a new nose because this nose will need a little bit of love. I would imagine that this will be available in an emergency situation in the race, but that will be minus one nose for the second in championship, number 31, Whelen Engineering Cadillac. And all they need to do is finish one position better than the 10. And if the 10 finishes one position better, well, then they're the champions. It's nice and simple. I like that kind of math.
So 47 Motorsport, the car that that NASA ran into the back of and sort of took a chunk out of the cheese wedge behind the rear wheel. On the multi-tones of blue on that 47 Motorsport Duquesne LMP3 car. 10 LMP3s in the entry this weekend, which pleases Jeremy Shaw very much indeed. Smashing cars, proper race cars, Jeremy, cost effective to buy and run, and they sound good as well.
Yeah, they do, don't they? That rumbling V8 engine is absolutely fantastic, and they provided some tremendous racing. If you didn't see the VIR IMSA Prototype Challenge race, have a look at it, because it was absolutely sensational, and it included the most amazing spin and win since Danny Sullivan in 1985, wasn't it, at Indianapolis. Perhaps even more spectacular in some ways. It wasn't quite as fast as Danny's spin, but it was mighty impressive by Rasmus Lind, who went on to win that race with Performance Tech Motorsport. So they do provide great racing, and as you say, relatively cost-effective in modern terms. And you know, I think it's going to be it's going to be a really intriguing battle during this race. We've got two teams making their debut in this championship this weekend, and I know there's more who are looking to come into it for 2022 as well, John.
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me. It's been a massive hit over in Europe. At one stage, they were considering promotion and relegation in the European Le Mans series because there were so many LMP3 entries. They had their own championship and the main championship as well, and there was some discussion about whether they would have to have some kind of promotion and relegation. That sort of balanced itself out a wee bit now, but just underlining how impressive those LMP3 machines have been for the teams. So that is the end of morning warm-up. Harry Tinknell quickest again. Another session that Mazda has been on top of the pile. That is the number 55 Mazda from Ricky Taylor. The times count for naught at this stage, of course. 110-181, though, is a reference point at least for this time of day, Jeremy. And the temperatures out there. The best of the P2s, James French. James does love this place, and he's been quick here in the past. Also for LMP3, the Ligier, GR3 Ligier, after that spin, going out of the pits, is the quickest with a 16.8 on the last lap. And Porsche to the fore, Michael Christensen, an 118 flat for GTLM. Note, check that, a 17.7 for Matt Campbell in the sister car. So the two WeatherTech Porsches at the front of GT Le Mans. And in GTD, Turner, BMW, Bill Oberlin, looking for redemption from yesterday. Lawrence Vanto, second in the high-flying in the championship, number 9, Pfaff Porsche. And Aston Martin with Ross Gunn, third. That's how it stacks up. Have a final word with Shea Adam before we sign off and pass the PA back to our colleagues in the Michelin Tower. Shea, are you going to grab someone else for us?
I'm looking for James French because I just heard you speaking so nicely about him, and I do believe I see him standing back here behind the Tower Motorsport area. Hey, James. Hi, friend. Do you mind if I interrupt for a second? Sorry about that. Road Atlanta, it's a great track for you. Michelin Raceway, you're on Michelin tires. You've got a big smile on your face this morning. Do you think you can win this class?
I sure hope so. We have a great car, fantastic team. Looks like the weather's cooperating with us today. It's beautiful, sunny, a little cool, which our car loves. So, yeah, we're just looking forward to a great day. So happy to have someone out here, all these fans. It's fantastic. So, yeah, couldn't be happier.
A little weird for you to race against Performance Tech out on track at the same time as them?
It is a bit strange, but luckily we're not in the same class, so we can have a happy wave as we see each other. So, yeah, it's all smiles.
Good luck today, James.
Thank you.
So, Shea Adam with that, VP Racing Fuel pit report. Jeremy Shaw was alongside me, John Hindhoff. Then we'll be back with Michelin Countdown to Green. But stay tuned to RS2 IMSA Radio. We've got plenty of content between now and then. And, of course, full, live, flag-to-flag, uninterrupted coverage of the 2021 Motul Petit Le Mans to come later on today. Bye for now.
This programme is a radio show limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.